Hello, this is Charles Shepard of the Fort Wayne Museum of Art, bringing you another chapter of American Stories, the behind-the-scenes look into America's history of art and culture. Today's story is about Otis Kay, a self-taught painter and engraver who today is considered one of the finest trompe l'oeil artists in history. Born in Michigan to a young couple who had recently immigrated to this country from Germany, Otis was an only child. His parents started a small lumber mill, which grew by leaps and bounds, and Otis spent many hours playing and drawing pictures on the floor of his mother's office. When Otis was just a teenager, however, tragedy struck the family. His father was killed in an accident at the mill. His mother immediately sold the business and moved to New York City with her son. It was there that Otis first became interested in art, frequenting galleries and museums with his mother. At one of those galleries, Otis met Nicholas Brooks, a noted still-life painter whose realistic depictions of money, playbills, and posters just dazzled his eye. Brooks explained the concept of trompe l'oeil to Otis, a technique of achieving a level of realism that could truly trick the viewer's eye. Otis was utterly fascinated with this style, and with money earned doing odd jobs, he purchased one of Brooks' paintings for his mother. After a little more than a year in New York, Otis and his mother boarded a ship to Dresden, Germany, where he enrolled in engineering school. After completing his training, Otis found a good job in a large German company and continued to live at home. During these years, inspired by the painting that he had brought his mother, Otis began making intricate drawings of figures, animals, and insects in his spare time, and steadily his skill of illusionistic rendering grew. After his mother's death, around 1914, Otis returned to the United States and found a job in Pittsburgh, where he had the opportunity to visit the Carnegie Museum frequently and familiarize himself with the work of the greatest 19th century trompe l'oeil painters, including John Haberle, John Pateau, and Will Harnett. This further spurred his obsession with mastering this precise, highly detailed style of the trompe l'oeil tradition. In 1920, Otis moved to Chicago to open a business with his cousin, who was also an engineer. Although he prospered as an engineer, he continued making great strides in his artwork. He had a number of small exhibits and was soon regarded as a master of visual illusion. His works featuring money were so convincing that Secret Service agents requested that he stop painting money since he was making what they considered to be counterfeit bills. This incident both delighted and scared Otis. He was flattered that they thought he was that good, but nervous that he might get in further trouble. He expanded his subject matter, but he never gave up painting currency. He reasoned that if he stopped exhibiting his work and never tried to sell it, he wasn't really breaking the law. So Otis worked in obscurity, letting only close friends and family members see his finished products. At the end of World War II, Otis sold his half of the business to his cousin so that he could paint full-time. He was financially secure and continued painting and drawing for 30 more years, depicting money and other paper oddities, as well as monumental figure compositions and landscapes. For reasons still wholly not understood, little of his work ever left his studio until his death in 1974. Because Otis had no living relatives at that time, his work was sold, along with his other household goods, at an estate sale. Today, more than 30 years after his death, Otis Kay's work is still not widely known, but slowly individual pieces are appearing in auctions around the country. His paintings are highly regarded for their technical virtuosity and their inventive compositions. Otis Kay is finally beginning to receive proper recognition as a masterful artist who continued the trompe l'oeil tradition of Will Harnett, John Haberle, and John Frederick Pateau well into the 20th century. Thank you for joining me, Charles Shepard, for this week's program. Please join me again next week for another episode of American Stories on NIPR.